Welcome, all you believers, idealists, skeptics, and all those who question the universe around them. I'm Bailey.
And I'm Ty. Welcome to Cult Talks Conspiracy.
Before we unseal this file, we wanted to fill you in on some really exciting news.
For as little as $3 a month, you can be a part of our pursuit to hashtag question everything by clicking the support the show link found in the show notes of each episode.
Your support would mean the absolute world to us and help us dive deeper into the mind-blowing conspiracies you, Ty, and I all love.
Thank you for joining us, seeking the truth, and as always, question everything.
Essex! We love you. She's gonna be like, what the fuck? Why'd you scream at me?
You're listening to a Cult Talk Network podcast.
File access granted.
Hello, all you believers, idealists, skeptics, and all those who question the universe around them. I'm Bailey.
And I'm Ty.
And we hope you had the merriest and the jolliest and the happiest Christmas of all time yesterday.
Yeah, we're coming right off the holiday here. Yes. For Cult Talk Conspiracy Day right after Christmas.
I have an eggnog hangover that is terrible. I love me some eggnog, like, but I don't like it unless it's got alcohol in it. Is that bad?
I like eggnog about, I don't think I've ever had it without one. Yeah, I have. I've had it with alcohol.
Because you can go to, like, the Kroger store, and you can get it, like, just plain, but it literally tastes like battered eggs.
Really? I think it tastes like melted ice cream.
I think it's disgusting unless you put some Jameson in there, and then you'll be all right. I'm not, I'm an apple cider kind of gal. You give me apple cider any time of the year, I'm good.
Apple cider's always fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Did you have a good Christmas?
I did! Did you?
Oh, absolutely. I love the holidays.
All right. Because you weren't traveling this year.
Not for Christmas.
Not for Christmas this year. See, we traveled.
No, not for Christmas.
We traveled far and wide because Ben's family is here in Chillicothe. My family is all over Ohio. So all over Ohio and parts of Tennessee as well. So we traveled a little bit. But it was all really fun. Got to see lots of family. So nice. Now they're back home.
I traveled last year for Christmas, but I didn't do it this year.
You're like, I got the...
No, I was good. Over that.
Did they travel to you?
No.
Bitches.
I used to do a little Christmas here at the house. Aww. Solo with me and Evan. So
yay.
That's probably what we did. So that's why I prefer it. I don't like traveling for the holidays.
Right. Yeah. There's too much.
I travel enough for work. Yeah, I don't want to travel for...
It's too much.
Fun of it.
I get nervous, like, if I'm speeding even a little bit on a holiday, because I'm waiting for that police officer who's just not happy.
Tickets? Yeah, those are something. Yeah, the holiday tickets, yeah, those are no fun.
Oh, my gosh.
They like to get you.
They do. But, hey, everybody's got to do their job. So that is A-okay. Except for, one entity who is supposedly doing their job that we're going to talk about today, but they're not really... They're doing their job on an agenda, is what I think, but... Anyway.
So we're just coming off of a very Cult Talk Christmas 3, our yearly Christmas week-long event. We obviously don't go out as for the whole month-long thing like we do Cult-tober, because that's exhausting enough. So we kept very Cult Talk Christmas 3 just a week. Yesterday, we got to hear us talking about Kurt Russell and the follow-up to last year's Christmas special, Christmas Chronicle 2. And that's over on the Cult of Campbell feed. So if you guys want to hear Cult of Russell, the Cult of Campbell spinoff series, make sure you guys check that out. Mm-hmm. And probably one of my favorite events of the year, new traditions we founded, is the Cult TalkNet Gift Exchange of Palooza.
That one's awesome.
Came out on Christmas Eve. Probably the best gimmick I've came up with yet.
So I love that.
I love that one.
That one's so much fun because we all like kind of, I try to pick movies that I saw like growing up. So poor everyone that I get to pick, because I think last year I had Ursa do A Wrinkle in Time, and this year it's already out. I had Michael do P.S. I Love You. So I really love giving the guys beautiful romantic movies to watch.
Yeah, movies you grew up with. So you've done two, so you don't have too many more of these left.
I know, right? We're running out. Yeah, running we're going to have to break out the Barbie catalog.
You're going to start watching new shit. And then last Tuesday, you got to hear us talk about Krampus Encounters, our special bonus file here on Cult Talk Conspiracy. That's a fun one. Last year we did Santa. So it was only fitting we followed up with the anti-Santa Krampus this year. And that was really fun to dive into some supposed real-life encounters with that that elusive holiday demon. But
oh, yes.
What are we talking about today, Bailey?
We're talking about something huge.
Okay,
we saved
big,
the
big end-of-the-year episode.
We saved the biggest for the last.
Okay.
I love this. I am so excited. So we are talking about giants. We're talking about giants, Ty. I'm so excited.
We're talking about giants. That's a fun one.
Yes.
That's a fun one.
Yes. So I became enthralled with giants when I heard the tale of Jack and the Beanstalk. So very, very young age. Because I was like, what the freak? Because it's almost like, I don't know. I have a guinea pig at home, my little freakster. And I think that I'm just a giant to him. Like, most of the time, he's not like mom. He's like, what the fuck is this giant Godzilla thing doing? Like, so, I don't know. It's freaking great. And like, I mean, I don't know. There's just, we're going to get into all of it. But there's a lot here that is kind of like aliens with cover-ups, but not like aliens with cover-ups, because the government will actually admit that aliens are there and no one's willing to say shit about giants. So, you know, it's weird and I don't understand.
Yeah, they pop up in weird places too. Like you'll
everywhere.
They'll pop up in random conspiracy theories you might be reading. You'll get a mention of giants. They're rooted in religion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very very interesting where giants kind of pop up. And, not many people talk about them. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I think we've only mentioned them a couple times even here. I think the last episode we talked about them briefly. And the Mount and Return of Mount Shasta, but I don't think there's too many times we've even talked about giants. So,
not really. They definitely popped up in my research a bit, like with Atlantis. It definitely did. With reptilians, it definitely did. Mount Shasta, I want to say I read something on it, but I can't pinpoint where it was.
Yeah, they were supposedly they found a giant skeleton.
Oh yes,
we talked about that on the last episode, or not the last episode, but what was it? File 031? What was our last episode? Zero three two.
I was getting ready to say, Ty.
033.
You're so good with those numbers. I'm just going to let you take it.
Yeah, on 032, Return of Mount Shasta, we talked briefly about it. But yeah, let's talk more about it, Bailey. Let's go ahead and let's cap off the year. Let's cap off 2023 with file number 033.
When giants roamed the earth, the Smithsonian's biggest secret. Time to unseal this file. What has roamed the earth longer than humans, has red hair, six fingers, and two rows of teeth? It's not Ben from Cold Allure, in case that's what your guess was. Giants. Giants, giants, giants. Evidence of giants have been popping up since the 1500s and even has references in biblical text. However, their definitive existence is still shrouded in mystery. Rumors of hoaxes, lies, and concealed evidence by federal entities have kept giants a fairy tale creature rather than an imperative chapter in human history. Culprit number one, being Washington's own Smithsonian Museum, founded in 1846, only 70 years after the United States Revolution. The Smithsonian shamelessly denies not only the existence of giants, but will and has discredited those who have researched for them, were on the Smithsonian's payroll, discredited them and all topics and claims of any evidence of giants as being a hoax. And there's still evidence of giants being found today, before we get into all of this, just so you guys know. In 2021, China unearthed what they reported as a 5,000-year-old skeleton, which reached 6 2, 6'2" in height, which is a very uncommon height in China, especially for it being 5,000 years old, because as evolution has gone on. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's only like that basketball player, I think, was from China that was really big in the 90s, early 2000s. I know he was like pretty uncommon because of his height.
Oh, yeah. I'm not quite sure who that is because I'm not a big basketball person. But...
Neither am I. I just know he was a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah. Honestly, as soon as you said basketball and kid, like my first...
Yao Ming.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so he's standing at 7'6".
Gee whiz.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
He's a big boy. He is a big boy.
Yeah, he was very popular when I was in high school.
He's bigger than the skeleton.
Yeah, yeah, he dwarfs that
skeleton. He does. He's like a whole foot taller than it. Gee whiz. Oh man. So that's crazy to me though, because it's like as evolution has gone on, we have progressively gotten taller and taller and taller as evolution's gone on. Especially like I love doing historical tours. Like especially like where they have like in colonial areas in America, they'll have like the home with all of its like authentic furniture and the heights and the dimensions and everything. And like, have you ever gotten into one of those beds before?
No.
Like you're scrunched up. I'm 5'7" and I am scrunched up. I'm like, I can't do this. How do you fit two people in here? Gracious. Gracious me. They were fucking on the floor. That's all I can imagine. So the evidence has been found far and wide, everywhere, all the way throughout time, going from 2021 now down to 1886, where now we have a medical discovery. And this one is something that I found very, very interesting. Acromegaly was often confused with giganticism. And remember, this was a medical discovery that happened in 1886. So acromegaly. See, take the first time I pronounce that word and put it right here. Thank
you. Let's see what it is. Let's see what this word is. Hang
on. Acromyalgia. Maliki.
Acromyalgia.
No, it's megaly. Acromegaly. Acromegaly. So acromegaly is very often confused with giganticism, and acromegaly is actually a hypertrophy of the hands, the feet, and the face. So basically a natural elongation of the hands, feet, and face. Giganticism, which that discovery came shortly after, is actually caused by a growth hormone and hypersecretion, which is characterized by tall stature. So hypersecretion, you basically get like a bunch of this growth hormone that gets pumped into your body instead of at a normal rate, like what it would be with like Ty and I. I think we're normal looking humans, Chai. I'm sorry.
I would think so.
So, yet the existence of giants is still discredited, even with a medical diagnosis that this can actually happen to people. And it also brings up questions of, are there giants in people's DNAs? Is this another humanoid? Is there another form of evolution for humans that we are just not aware of? There's all kinds of questions surrounding this topic. So before I go any further, I want to let all of you conspirators know that, number one, I love you. Number two, there is a lot of opportunity for us to come back and visit this topic. I really wanted to get the who, what, when, there, and why, especially surrounding the Smithsonian and why and how they've covered up giants. There are all kinds of different things. I do mention it a little bit in here. I touch on a little bit of each and every single bit. But if there is one specific thing you want us to go back in and cover in exact detail and clarity, comment. Comment down below. It helps us in the algorithm. We love to hear from you guys. It makes me smile the rest of the day when I hear from you guys. So tell us if you want to hear more about these giants.
Absolutely, yeah. Always comment. We love comments.
Yes.
Even the guy that called me out for some reason, I had mistaken Benjamin Franklin as the 6th president of the United States.
Oops.
I have no idea. In my Halloween special, somehow I confused Benjamin Franklin with John Adams. I have no idea how. Comment us on those mistakes. I like to see those.
Those are awesome. I just found out today we had a president named Garfield.
Yeah.
I don't know American history that great. Sorry. You asking me?
I have no idea how I thought Benjamin Franklin was the sixth president of the United States.
You're just that good with numbers, my dude. Yeah, I have no idea. It's all right. Wait, hey, I'm sure I've, yeah, anyway. It's all right. It's all right. But yeah, we love those. We loves it. So yes, comment and let us know if you're, you know, a crossover fan with Cult of Lore and Cult Talks Conspiracy and you want to be real jazzy and put For the Algorithm down there. Just so you guys know, I will brag about that to Ben, like, for the rest of our marriage. All time. You will get bragging rights. I'll probably send you some merch if you do that, to be honest with you. But back to the Smithsonian and all their lies. So the Smithsonian itself has been confirmed, to send out scientists and researchers to further investigate claims of giant remains being found, and has even taken some of the remains for themselves. But all claims, far and wide, were determined to be a hoax, and all of the remains taken by the Smithsonian were never seen again.
Interesting.
Oh, yes. And I've been reading a lot, and I watched YouTube videos, and I found some people who had, you know, claimed, I didn't talk to them specifically, these were reports that they had made, but I found some people that said that they had sent over bones. One person even sent over a tooth that they had found, that they had looked at by a medical examiner who could not determine what the tooth was. The medical examiner confirmed that, yes, it does look like a human tooth. It looked like a molar, but they couldn't determine whether or not it was human based purely off of its size. This person sent the tooth to the Smithsonian per their request. Apparently the tooth never made it to the Smithsonian. We don't know where the tooth is. It never got there. We don't know where it is. The guy still doesn't have the tooth. Smithsonian apparently doesn't have the tooth. And I don't know. All I'm just saying is, you know, listen, I know the mail system in the U.S. is kind of jacked.
They claim they don't have it? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, they claim they never received it.
They claim they never received it. Okay.
After requesting it.
Ah.
And he sent it. And they said they never got it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like that.
Multiple times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this has happened to numerous people who have found bones, artifacts, skulls, full-on skeletons. One guy sat in a full-on skeleton. The Smithsonian doesn't know where it is.
Wow.
They said, like, they don't have it. They don't know what's going on with it. They're just like, nope, we don't have it. It's not ours. It's kind of like, it kind of reminds me of, like, when you get a text from somebody, like, really late at night, and you see it, and you don't want to respond right then, and then they ask you, like, the next day, hey, did you get my text? And you're like, you know what? No, I never even saw it. It must have not come through. It must have been a connection error. Yup. So, now we're going to talk about the discoveries, and we're going to talk about a very interesting gentleman who I came across who is living proof, or was living proof, I should say, of giganticism. He's probably the best, not even probably, he is the best example of giganticism as a medical diagnosis that we've ever seen. His name is Robert Pershing Wadlow. I almost said Waldo. Like, hey, where's Waldo? He wouldn't be a hard Waldo to find. But Wadlow. So, otherwise known as the Alton Giant or the Giant of Illinois, he was 8 foot 11 inches tall and weighed 490 pounds at the time of his death. Closer to the end of his life, he would actually walk around with a cane, and he towered over people at 8 foot tall. Both his mother and father were actually both of normal size and stature. There's a picture of him. With his
okay,
fam.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Giant.
I believe they said his dad was actually 5'9". So like our height next to the Alton Giant, Robert.
That's why they called him the Alton Giant.
Mm-hmm. Because he was from Alton, Illinois. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, my Illinois people. Correct me in the comments. It's wonderful. For the So Robert would only live to be about 22 years old. However, medically, what Robert was diagnosed with hypertrophy of the pituitary gland, resulting in an unusual giant level, if you will, human growth hormone. And then in 1936, he actually gained his celebrity by touring with the Ringling Brothers, and he would appear in Madison Square Garden and the Boston Garden. And just a little fun fact, he actually refused to wear the top hat and tails that the circus suggested he wear. But I mean, he was always center stage. He was the main event. He was never a sideline. So that's really where Mr. Robert gained a lot of his celebrity, was through the Ringling Brothers and through the circus, which, I mean, that's kind of cool. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Just 2 years prior to Robert's birth on July 13th in 1916, Professor A.B. Skinner of the American Indian Museum, also now a branch of the Smithsonian, uncovered 68 men while excavating a mound in Tioga Point near Sayre, Pennsylvania. Let's all take a moment to understand that that was a lot of different things that I had to pronounce, and I'm very proud of myself for not stuttering. These men had been estimated to have been buried in 1200 AD and were an average height of 7 feet tall. Some reports also state that the skeletons had horns protruding from the skulls as well, and they were also found with huge axes laying beside each of them. So they each had an axe laying beside them. Now, the horns are kind of... I'm skeptical on the horns, because there's some reports where the horns are mentioned. There's other reports where the horns are not mentioned. Most of the time when we hear descriptions of giants, there are no horns. But it doesn't mean they weren't found with something like that on there. I don't know. It was 1916. I wasn't there. And we can't see them.
Now, an interesting, I guess, thing about the horns is, you know, when I was doing my little bit of research into the giant stuff, mm-hmm. I know, like, one of the common claims, especially, like, during the 19th century.
Yeah.
Because 19th century saw a lot of reports of giants being found, giant bones mm-hmm. discovered. One of the many claims from a lot of naturalists was these were bones of mastodons.
Oh.
Which, I mean, mastodons have tusks. So perhaps that could be maybe if you wanted to, like, debunk the skeletons of the horns, maybe that could be an example of that.
Yeah, I had to look up what a mastodon is, because I wasn't quite sure. So now I'm looking at a photo and I'm like, oh, this makes sense.
That's what a lot of naturalists during 19th century,
interesting,
you know, theorized, that these were mastodon bones.
But that still doesn't look like a human skull.
No, no. But I mean, if you were thinking of this giant,
mm-hmm.
I guess, humanoid, which you maybe mm-hmm. think it would be...
It would look a lot different than us, too. Look a lot
different, yeah.
And if it's got chips...
It's got horns.
Yeah.
Horns, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you gotta assume that it's gonna look different in
some capacity. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Interesting. That is interesting. Are the mastodons the ones that are coming back that they've, like, genetically... No, that's the...
Mammoths.
They're getting mammoths to come back. Should we have expected a baby mammoth this year? Was this the year that we were supposed to get a baby mammoth?
Maybe.
Or is that 2024?
Next year, maybe. 2024, possibly.
Show me the baby mammoth.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I want to see that.
I mean, the fact that... Listen, I'm here for that milestone within my lifetime, okay? Like, that one can happen. That's fine. Going back even further, in 1870, in an edition of the Ohio Democrat, a tale of a Mr. William Thompson and a Mr. Robert R. Smith excavating a mound near West Hickory, and this is all in Ohio, by the way. This is homegrown Ohio.
Okay.
Excavating a mound near West Hickory, when they unearthed a very large helmet made of iron, which was corroded in rust when it was unearthed. They also found a 9-foot-long sword.
Wow.
And to top it all off, they would find a well-preserved giant skeleton that was estimated to stand 18 foot tall, quote, in his stockings, end quote. It was written in 1870, in his stockings.
In his stock, like in his clothes?
Yeah. In his socks.
Jesus.
That's what I interpret that to be. Like.
Yeah, I would assume so, yeah.
Like, because you know how they say, like, oh, he only weighs $1.50 soaking wet, like something like that, maybe. So according to this article, the bones and artifacts were taken to Tonaseta, I hope I said that right. Where they were put on display for public viewing. The article also alluded that the bones were being prepared to ship out to New York, but no other reports were found of an 18-foot skeleton. So
18-foot tall. Now this is the one that didn't P.T. Barnum get involved in this as well?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because P.T. Barnum also had an 18-foot skeleton. That he hoaxed. He had a skeleton made out of fake bone, not fake bones, but like various.
That he was
carting around the United States during the 1700s.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's not awesome, but that's pretty cool. Like, first of all, where did you get all your bones, sir?
Right. Yeah. I imagine it's got to be. Yeah. It's something that he was able to, Frankenstein this thing together. It was so lifelike that even Abraham Lincoln fell for it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He even referenced the lost race of giants.
Oh, wow.
When talking about Niagara Falls. So, yeah. So they got the prez.
They did. Now, is that the P.T. Barnum? Is that like Barnum and Bailey? The circus?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Interesting. See, I want to look more into that because I am shocked I didn't run across that. But I really want to look more into that. I want to see if there's a photo out there. Okay. Stay focused, Bailey. If you guys can't tell, Christmas is when my ADD really comes out and I'm just like, where are all the things? Show me all the things. Anyway, so let's get into probably our most famous account, and we're going to take a good chunk of time talking about this one. Is have you ever heard of G.E. Kincaid, Ty?
G.E. Kincaid.
Kincaid. Oh, he's an interesting fellow. So G.E. Kincaid would go to the Grand Canyon one last time to hunt for gold and minerals before President Roosevelt would declare the site a national monument in 1908. Kincaid would travel 42 miles upriver of the Tovar Crystal Canyon and 2,000 feet up the canyon wall before discovering a stairway made of sandstone that was leading into the cave. The entryway was so large that it could accommodate an entire line of people walking side by side through the entryway. I believe one report, and I didn't write it down, I believe one report said that the entryway was 12 foot across. Like, you could, like, imagine an entryway that's 12 foot long. Yeah. So about 60 feet into the entrance, both on the right and left sides, where you would turn and look, were large rooms that resembled living rooms with oval-shaped entryways. And the weird part was they were also ventilated. They had air ventilation going through these rooms that were inside of this cave. That's not something that I don't want to say is not naturally occurring, because I'm sure it could be, but it's definitely...
Yeah, it's definitely natural, because the caves have some form of ventilation, but I mean...
I don't...
It's not something you would have, like, you know, precise ventilation like that.
Yeah. See, I don't do caves. I don't do caves. Like, I was researching this, and I'm like, man, I really want to go see it, but I'm not going in there. Plus, I don't think you can get into this anymore. Someone let me know if you live around Grand Canyon and you've been inside. I want to know. So further in, Kincaid would discover what appeared to be a very large Buddha statue in the middle of one room. The statue also appeared to be holding two lotus flowers in each hand. At this point, Kincaid would realize that he was going to need help on this enormous find. Kincaid would go to the Smithsonian, whom he had already been working for 30-plus years prior, and he would request the help and researchers come out and help him excavate the site. They would agree, and they would send 40-plus researchers and laborers to help him excavate and further study the site. They would also send Professor S.A. Jordan to assist in the research. Jordan would also fund the entire expedition as well. There are some conflicting reports that the Smithsonian funded it. It's more likely that Professor Jordan funded it.
Okay.
And the only reason I say is because the Smithsonian outright denies the even existence of Kincaid.
Okay.
They flat out deny that he ever even existed.
Okay, they had no dealings with him whatsoever.
Listen, I talked with the people. I called
that's
the
right,
Smithsonian.
Right. You did. Yeah.
I did. We're going to talk about it at the end, but I will tell you about my conversation with the Smithsonian.
Okay.
Yes. That was fun. So they would go back and they would discover copper tools, knives, swords, as well as metal workings. They also found what appeared to be Egyptian hieroglyphics on the walls and entryways. There was a smooth granite hallway that led into a great room. Now, granite is a very, very hard stone in order to work with. There's this thing called the Mohs scale, which is basically testing a stone or a rock's hardness. We find this a lot in like crystal work and whatnot. And honestly, it's how I figured out how to take care of crystals, which ones can be cleansed, which ones cannot be, which ones, you know, are going to drop and break, which ones are going to be the most sturdy. You can also do this a lot when you're shopping for rings, ladies. Because, yeah, no, legit. Like, the reason I wanted an aquamarine stone in my engagement ring was because it was strong. I almost got an opal. Opals can break. But an aquamarine is one of the strongest stones that are out there. Very durable. Of course, diamonds are the hardest, but diamonds are expensive, and most of them are man-made. So go with your naturally occurring stones. So granite on the Mohs scale is actually a 6 to an 8. And the hardest stone a stone could get on the Mohs scale is a 10. So they have got this granite that's in the freaking floor, on the floor, and it's completely smoothed over. And I mean, it's not to say that it's impossible to do it without modern day tools, but it would definitely be hard and it would be very time consuming as well.
Right.
So Jordan and Kincaid would unearth a room with hollowed out casings in the walls, which held giant humanoids. These are freaking wicked. These things are freaking wicked because basically what it is it's like these little hollow like cocoons in the wall that where you find like these giant mummified, we're getting there, bodies pretty much. And like there's a little like platform for them to stand on, and there's like a little table in front of them where they found like cups and silverware and like offerings that you would give to the dead or flowers or whatever. And like it went all the way up to the ceiling, like from the bottom where the floor is touching all the way up to the ceiling from the photos I could see. And the further up you went on the ceiling, the more decorated the mummies were, almost indicating a sign of status or a sign of further evolution. How they got them up there, I don't know. I don't know. It'd be really nice if someone was like, you know, about 9 or 10 foot tall and just could. But so the standard size of each of these mummies were between 7 and 8 foot tall. And the mummies were actually wrapped in bark and a cement-like material. So they took like tree bark and basically wrapped them. And they were able to preserve these mummies, preserve these bodies, quite like an Egyptian mummy would be. So the underground city, as it has been called, was said by Kincaid to be skillfully chiseled or hewn with remarkable precision as if carefully planned out by an engineer. And we don't even know how.
Yeah, this is like oddly similar to the stuff we talked about in Mount Shasta.
For real, though. For real.
Yeah, there was a very similar story of an explorer finding a cave in Mount Shasta that held, you know, a giant cathedral with giant skeletons in it. So.
Yep. This one even has like, there's so much in this cave. There's so much because like there's hieroglyphics, but there's also depictions of lizard people as well in this cave, like in a separate spot.
It's got everything.
Upon further exploration, and this is just a side note. I guess there was a room that smelled like reptiles. I don't quite know what a reptile smells like, but it was very dark. It was just very, just not welcoming whatsoever. And it was said to smell like reptiles. So the general consensus was, well, maybe this place just has a lot of snakes in it. Maybe it's a snake pit or something. But you mix that with the reptile humanoid beings that are, you know, drawn up on all the walls. And it's just kind of like, okay, what's happening here? Like, that's where we're going to find Hillary Clinton's body one day.
Maybe.
She's just going to go home. That's all that's going to happen. She's just going to go home. So.
What is this, InfoWars now?
There's some funny stuff on InfoWars, okay? Okay. Yeah. You leave my boy alone. He's funny.
There is some very funny stuff on InfoWars. I'll agree with that. It's a very funny website.
Speaking of funny, it was really funny that they would also find a copper sword along with pottery, utensils, and cups and other daily use artifacts. The pottery was actually said to have been so to have beautiful artistry on it. So it was embossed. And then the copper sword and the copper metal workings are extremely interesting because that's something that today we still haven't been able to do with all of our modern tech and all of our modern advances is figure out how to melt down and harden copper into a form that we want it to go in. It's just not something that we've been able to do with hardening. Most of the time it's like really soft and you can yank it out. I was a property manager. I've seen yanked out copper. It's not fun. Also, the mysterious hieroglyphics on all of the entryways and the walls were also found. Now, the walls were 3 feet thick. They were them thick bitches. So, and there were hieroglyphics carved into them. And ancient Egyptian scholar, I had it written ancient A Egyptian scholar, and I'm like, what does the A stand for? Ancient. So, do you ever do that? You're just kind of in your notes and you're like, I don't know what this says. Like,
sometimes, yeah.
Past absolutely. Bailey had high expectations of me.
I've been there, yeah.
So, an ancient Egyptian scholar was actually able to translate the markings as ancient Egyptians. And there's actually similar hieroglyphs found in a cave in Arizona as well that we can go into. Because a lot of this streams from the Arizona River and Colorado River. You had to go through the Colorado River in order to get to this cave city.
Okay.
So it's actually suspected that those who inhabited the city are actually descended from an Arizona tribe of Native Americans, the Hopi people, also side quest. And this is one that we really can go into. We're going to touch on it here right now. But the Hopi people actually battled with the Saskatchewans, and they were rumored to be redheaded giants with two rows of teeth, six fingers, and all of that good jazz, you know, friendly, homely-looking fuckers. And the Hopi people actually warred with them, and they warred with them, and they won. And it's said, and there's photographs of this chieftain's daughter with a necklace of a red lock of hair. And it's said that this lock of hair was actually from one of the giants that her father slayed. I really want to see it. I don't want to take it.
Hair is all it was.
It's just a lock of hair. It's just a lock of red hair that is said to be from the giant that the chief slayed.
Couldn't have got anything cooler than a piece of hair?
I would want a tooth.
Yeah, a tooth.
Give me a tooth.
Bone, skull.
Skull would be good.
Yeah, hair. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Hair was a lot easier to like. I mean, it's obviously a lot easier to manipulate, but people made like hair jewelry and like hair paintings and just. Mm-hmm. Gross shit. So like Deidre, Jerry from Cold Allure, his wife, she's an oddities dealer or was an oddities dealer. She has a hair painting and I've seen that and it's beautiful, but it's disgusting. Cause it's like, it's from like, I think like 1940s. So like all that hair is like almost 100 years old.
Yeah. That sounds gnarly.
It's nasty. So in the 1500s, Patagonia was found. Have you ever heard of Patagonia?
I have.
The land of the giants. I love it. And this
a clothing brand too, I think now.
Is it real? Yeah, it is.
I think Patagonia is like an outdoor.
Yes.
Clothing brand, yeah.
Yes. They're not giants though. It's not a clothing brand for giants.
No.
No.
Yep, they are a clothing brand.
So this was interpreted to be the land of giants by Ferdinand Magellan. And Patagonia is actually located in Chile and Argentina. I guess there are, like, there's Patagonian territories, and they span between Chile and Argentina. And there were these they're all over the freaking place, in all honesty, all over South America, are these giant 5 foot long and length footprints that are literally like stamped into the sides of mountains.
Whoa.
And like, you can see, like think about putting your foot in a sand, in the sand, or like, you know, in the snow or something like that. And you get like a nice like toe prints and then the foot and everything. That is what is in the side of this freaking mountain. And it's 5 foot tall in length. And you're telling me there's no such thing as giants? Ma'am. Okay. Well,
yeah,
well,
that's interesting. And there's
multiples.
Okay.
They just have no idea how it happened. They claim that it is a natural occurring phenomenon. But there was one that I saw, and it was on a TikTok, so I'm not 110% sure. But there's one that I saw that was like 18 to 20 foot in length. And I mean, it was a big boy. Like, I mean, there were puddles in it. It was a big one. But of course, it's on TikTok, so I'm not quite sure about that one.
Yeah.
And then, fast forward a couple hundred years, in 1750, John Byron was rumored to have found a family of giants, and he would write a 31-page pamphlet.
Alive?
Yeah, alive. Like, he talked with them.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, alive. Like, he talked. He was like, hey, what's up? Yeah, that's an illustration. Our guys on YouTube will show it to you guys. But yeah, that's
where are these at?
These were in the same area with Patagonia. Hmm. Yeah, so like there was a lot of people trying to go in and like colonize Patagonia because it was during that time of like, we've got to get the land. And I was going to say, you know, I don't think we've ever gotten out of that time of we've got to go get the land.
No.
It was just all the UK, and now it's us. We didn't learn that much, did we?
No.
We didn't learn that much. Okay, that's fine. But yeah, this was all in Patagonia. And 1715, so this has been 250 years later. 50, not 15. Jesus, Bailey. So he would write this 31-page pamphlet, and he would actually suggest that a small number of giant women could be imported from Patagonia to England. And he would say, quote, for the sake of mending our breed is why they should be imported over.
Jeez.
Let's send them over and get them pregnant.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh,
goodness gracious, buddy. She would just flick you right on off of her. Just nope. Mm-mm.
Maybe. Did any of this actually happen?
No. Good Lord, no. I mean, the pamphlet is a real thing. It is a real thing, but all we have are illustrations and whatnot because of the time period and whatnot. But yeah, like, and I mean, in that area, like, I'm sure there are skeletons that have been found. Honestly, there's so much on this topic. I just picked and pulled little things that were like, okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. Let's do this. Because this is a really interesting topic, and it's a topic I get really excited about. And it's one I get really excited about because it could alter human history. And
oh, yeah.
Because we have no idea what most of our history looks like. I mean, in a biblical sense, yeah, it's pretty black and white what it looked like in a biblical sense. But is that the truth? Is it? Because even in the Bible...
You always have to ask.
Even in the Bible, it says, and he went with giants. Or he was one of the giants. So if the Bible...
A prominent story within the Bible, David versus Goliath.
Yes. Yes.
Very, very famous story in there.
I am a bit ashamed to say this, but I have not read David versus Goliath.
I don't think you're missing anything.
Okay. My dad's going to call and be like, I need you to read this. Like, you're not doing your proper homework. Like, okay, I'll read it. So
I mean, that's a pretty good example of a giant in mythology, though. I mean, however you want to put it, though, mm-hmm. whatever your beliefs are. I mean, it's pretty interesting. There's a giant story as like a main one of the notable tales within the Bible.
In the Bible, yeah. Okay. I just want to know, because I mean, even I mean, you can pick and choose how to interpret anything you would like in the Bible. But I mean, there's even like, yep, I want to be that person. There's even references to like aliens coming down and whatnot. Like, I don't care. I'm that person. Like,
there absolutely is. I mean, there absolutely is references to, you know, some form of extraterrestrial beings. You can interpret a lot of stuff though as being that in the Bible. There's a lot of things you can read into. You can find a lot of interesting takeaways.
Maybe that's one episode we should do, or Bible conspiracies.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Actually. You and Mike have a friend that we could bring on for that one.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
That would be fun. Ooh, we need to reach out to them.
We'll discuss that. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yes. So Byron would also say that the chief of the 500 people that greeted him along the shores could stand no less than 7 foot tall. So when he came over in his boat, there were 500 native people, 500, quote unquote, that's what the tale tells us, that were standing on the shores ready to greet him. And the chief was among them. And they were all of very vertical stature. I wanted to use a big word, and that vertical is what came out. So now with all of this evidence, and even some evidence that we didn't even get to talk about, because there's literally just so much. Like, I mean, there's discoveries going all the way back to like 10 AD, 900 AD. Like, and I mean, there's so much that goes into this. There's discoveries being made today that we don't know are true or false. And a lot of it is because every single story that has been published about giants, someone has come out and said that they are not true, that they are complete hoaxes. So do you remember when I told you that J.E. Kincaid and S.A. Jordan were employees of the Smithsonian, were researchers for the Smithsonian?
Yes.
Okay, now we're going to talk about how the Smithsonian fucked them over. So the Smithsonian outright denies any existence of giants, even going as far as to posting and writing an article in 2009 regarding the myths around the museum. And giants and the discoveries of giants are number one on that list. So they actually claim that G.E. Kincaid and Professor S.A. Jordan never even worked for the Smithsonian. This is in direct contradiction to the 30-year career that J.E. Kincaid is recorded to have with the Smithsonian, and Professor S.A. Jordan being one of their top researchers as well.
So there is some correlation there between the...
Oh, yeah.
Between them.
It's on Wikipedia. Like, I mean, I'm not saying Wikipedia is the end-all, be-all, but I'm just saying, like... It's general knowledge out there that they worked for you guys, and you're just going to be like, no, it wasn't me. I'm sorry? Oh my God, the Smithsonian pisses me off. I'm going to get a letter after this. And then we're going to have a bonfire with the letter, not with the Smithsonian. So I actually spoke with a representative of the Smithsonian. And to be honest, I was pretty surprised how quickly their response was to my question about giants. Cause you know, I did my spiel. I was like, hey, my name is Bailey. I am a co-host of...
Did you plug the podcast?
I did. They are well aware that this is coming out on a Cult Talks conspiracy podcast.
Some listeners.
Oh yes. So she's probably, they're going to listen and be like, what'd they say? So I spoke with the representative of the Smithsonian, and I got one of the pretty higher up peoples. I'm not going to say directly who it was because I told them myself that I told them that I was not going to quote them in both person and in email. So I want to try to keep their anonymity there. But they outright told me that not only did the Smithsonian think that this issue had been put to bed, but they are asked about giants numerous times a year. So,
were they annoyed, or were they kind of just like, oh, no.
They were annoyed.
They were annoyed.
I got the general sense that they were annoyed. And honestly, the response kind of sounded robotic, like they were reading off of a script. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if they're getting multiple calls about this a year, then yeah, your response gets pretty nil and keel. However, here's why I think they're reading off of a script. Because, and this is what inspired me to call them, another YouTuber whom I follow, I think they're called the Impossible Files. I want to say that's who that was. I'm not sure. I hope I'm not saying your name wrong. If I am, I'm really sorry. Loved your content. But he called and he recorded the conversation. And I kid you not, what this person told me was identical to what they told him a year and a half ago. 100% not true. 100% not true. This is not real.
So what they told you, it wasn't true?
They told me it wasn't true, that it was made up, that Kincaid never even existed, that neither him nor S.A. Jordan worked for the Smithsonian. But here's where they got a little tongue-tied. When I brought up John Wesley Powell, John Wesley Powell was appointed by President James A. Garfield to serve as the second director of the U.S. Geological Study from 1881 to 1894. He also became the first director of the Bureau of the Ethnology at the Smithsonian. And this purpose was of transferring archives and recorded material relating to Native American Indians in North America. And he supported linguistics and sociological research and publications. Now, Major Powell, because he actually served in, I think, the Civil War. He served in a war. He's a major. He was rumored to have involvement of some kind with Jordan and Kincaid's expedition. However, and this is what they pulled on me, he died in 1902, just 6 years before the city was allegedly found in 1908. So when I asked about Major Powell, they said, well, how could he have been involved if his passing was already at the time when the article was written? Because the Arizona Gazette were the ones that published the article a year later in 1909, and they dated the expedition taking place, or the excavation, excuse me, taking place in 1908. So I went, okay, you got me. Okay, cool, 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 cool. But, and they're like, nope, it's not true. None of it's true. They're like, we thought we put this to bed. It is a myth. None of these people existed. We do not have giant artifacts. We've never had giant artifacts. Sorry. Have a great day. So
they were just like,
no, none. And this is me talking with one of the chief people.
They already took up enough time.
Yeah.
They already took up enough time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There was nothing more they were going to tell me. Mm. So, and I mean, it's just, it's freaking nuts. Like, I don't mean, there's numerous reports of people who have discovered evidence of giants and around all across the U.S. and the Smithsonian stepping in and offering to do further research. Further research. Bring it to the Smithsonian, the Institute of American History Museum. And we will find out if this is genuine or not. They send it in. They don't hear anything. They still don't hear anything. They call and they ask, like, where the fuck is my shit? Oh, we don't have it. We don't know who you were. We don't have record of that phone call. We don't have record of those letters. So, and that's also another reason why I think it's more probable for Jordan to have funded the excavation than it is the Smithsonian, because if the Smithsonian had funded it, that would have left a paper trail.
Wow.
So it would have been easier for that to come out of Jordan and that paper trail be linked more over to him than it would the Smithsonian Institute of American History. So the Smithsonian does not publicly comment on this, but they told finders that they either lost the items, never received them, never recovered them, or just flat out lost them. So in the end, it's kind of like the ending of Indiana Jones in the Lost Ark, where you see the Ark being placed in this huge warehouse and subsequently forgotten about. And, you know, you pan out and there's all of these crates that are out there that are, you know, all kinds of different shenanigans. If you see the big box in there, that's probably where the giants are. But it may be likely that that's what the Smithsonian's basement looks like. We may never get a definitive answer from researchers about the existence of giants. But with excavations still happening today and more of our actual human history being unearthed, the proof may just be in the pudding.
Perhaps.
And that is what I have on giants. Like I said, guys, I touched a little bit of everything. So it was,
Now, talking more about the, you know, we mentioned David and Goliath, you know, that biblical story. Now, you know, one thing I don't know if we touched on in this episode was the Nephilim.
Yep.
That being a very common thing comes up in giant research. So the Nephilim, for those of you who don't know, are a tribe that was described in the book of Genesis. So the Nephilim were described in the book of Genesis, and they were described as being large and strong. Mm-hmm. The word Nephilim, sometimes in the Hebrew language, actually translates to giant.
Oh!
Yeah, so it's one of those things where it seems like perhaps at this time in the biblical history that there was at least a race of giants. Now, the Nephilim are actually thought to be fallen angels. That would account for their size, their strength, you know, being far greater than average humans, because, you know, they're angels,
right?
Who fell to Earth.
That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Giants are also mentioned, you know, very heavily in Greek mythology. You know, that's you'll find giants all throughout Greek history, biblical history, very common. But you know, one of the things I want to talk about though is we talked about, you know, modern day sightings, you know, people seeing, you know, finding bones and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a really interesting account that I followed last year.
Oh,
are you familiar with Andrew Dawson? He's a TikToker, or was a TikToker.
You know, the name sounds familiar, but he's kind of got one of those names that could be mixed with a few other people. But tell me about him.
Name. So Andrew Dawson, he actually went viral last year. He was under the handle Andy Capt, so Andy KAPT. And on April 9th, 2022, he uploaded a video. It's pretty interesting video. You can find it online. He's driving along the highway, and he's stopped on the highway, and there's a mountain range.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a, looks like a shape,
yep,
standing at the top of the mountain that he claims is a giant.
Oh my God!
Claims it after taking the video, it walked off. You know, he didn't catch it, but it's on top of a mountain. It's not just like a hill. It's a mountain.
Yeah, so
it's a very large individual, if that's in fact what it was.
I mean, yeah.
And he over the course of the next few days, he would return to the mountain. He was unable to see it again, but he claims he was stopped by a black van.
Woo!
They stopped. They blocked the road. Wouldn't let him past a certain point. Had to turn back. He would also post a video of a UFO that he claimed he saw.
Where is he?
He would share many things like this. He was stopped by cars, and he would eventually just kind of disappear off the platform. For a number of days, people began to post videos, you know, claiming he was dead. You know, he disappeared. They couldn't contact family members. No one had heard from him. He would actually resurface about a month later.
Okay.
He would resurface on there. He would say, you know, sorry, disappoint. You know, all my videos are fake. Everything's scripted. It's all just entertainment. Nothing's happened. And, you know, sorry you all fell for it, or whatever, you know, in so many words, he would say that. So,
uh-huh.
Until 10 days later, he would post a short clip of a dark room with only the text on it saying, "I am scared." And then he would come out and say that he did not fake anything, that none of that was true. He was forced to say this. He was told he had to remit everything on his TikTok. And then he would go away and he'd not be heard from since.
Oh my God.
So that's a very, I followed that last year. That was a very interesting piece of conspiracy.
Where is he? I think he got Men in Blacked.
He might have got Men in Blacked. He caught a video of a giant. It's a pretty interesting video. It's kind of one of those things where it's up for your interpretation. It's pretty far away. You know, it's a very clear picture, clear video, but it's so far away, it's hard to discern what it is exactly. But it's one of those up for your interpretation things. But, you know, could this be just him doing a little trick, you know, maybe trying to get a little publicity? You know, that's always something to question with people like this. But then again, maybe there's something going on that he saw something he shouldn't have seen.
I just don't understand the... I guess I just don't understand the gambit of... Yeah, let me post this thing and then come out and say it's fake and then come back out and be like, no, it's actually all real. And now I'm going to disappear again. Yeah. Like, I don't understand the gain off of that. Because, I mean, if it went viral, I mean, there's some monetary.
Viral. It was all over TikTok.
Yeah.
It was very viral.
And doesn't. Oh, I'm so old. Does TikTok pay its content creators as well? Like if they get over
I so
many?
I think you have to have a content kind of similar to YouTube.
Like, oh, okay. Sort of. So it's not like if you go viral once, you're going
to
get it.
No, if you go viral once, it's not, you know, you're not going to really get anything from it. But if you continue to go viral, you'll probably get sponsorship.
Got you. Okay.
Some sort of monetization option.
But. Oh, okay. That answers that question then. Okay. Super weird. I saw stills from it, like as we're sitting here talking about it, because I had not heard of Mr. Andrew Dawson. I really hope he's okay. I really hope he didn't get Men in Blacked. Someone put together a in loving memory thing. I hope that didn't happen to him.
You never know.
I hope not, man. That would be awful. Yeah, it would be awful. But it's like, it raises these questions of why is our own history being hidden from us? Why are these things that are out in the world that we should be aware of as people who live in the world, why are we not aware? And who are the people that are making these decisions?
Yeah, exactly. That's the main thing, is who is making a decision of what we are and what we aren't supposed to know. That's the biggest question about this kind of stuff.
I know. Because, I get it. It would be super...
Even if you look back at like the UFO stuff, just happened this year, as early as this year, the whole disclosure movement. That stuff was known for so long and, you know, denied from us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now they're finally, you know, acknowledging it. But it's for so long, there was a decision made that no one was a part of.
Right. Right. And now it's frustrating on like a freedom of information sense, because it's like, listen, I don't want to go and live out in the country on my 88-acre property and find freaking Goliath back there. Because then that's Goliath's property. Like, I don't want to do that. It's the same with the Hopkinsville goblins. I don't want to go out there and find out that my property is actually infested with alien goblins that nobody wanted to talk about. Because they'll get called crazy. It's like, no, if these things are out there, we need to know about them. Like,
well, luckily, you know, for what it's worth, I think 2023 was a fantastic year for disclosure.
Yes.
For people. A big win for people who want to talk about these things.
It was. So it was.
If anything, 2023 was a huge victory for the disclosure community. But we'll see what 2024 has to hold.
Yes. Yes.
It's a big year. I think 2024 has the makings to be a very big year.
I think so too. I think we're going to see a UFO landing in 2024.
Really?
I want to see it from afar.
I see some autopsy tapes or something.
That would be cool. That would be really cool. Something like that. I want to see a UFO that is not Elon. That's what I want to see. That's not Elon.
Check our social media. It'll be up there.
it's, yeah, I've sent it.
Really seeing Starlink for the first time.
You're like, oh my God.
That was fantastic.
I watched that one. I need that a video good
so much with Eric freaking out in the background, Ben freaking out in the background. Your neighbors.
My neighbors are wigging out.
Man, that was.
I think at one point you even hear us all go, we haven't even smoked yet. Like, none of us, all of us are sober.
Like, I just wish I could have been there.
It was great. Man. Oh, it was great. We had no idea what the fuck was happening. It was wonderful. But I don't know. Yeah, man, I have big hopes and dreams for 2024. I hope it is an information jam-packed year. I hope we get to learn new things, celebrate new things, and just be a happy community, or at least try.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, there you go, Bailey. That was our last episode for the year. We capped off 2023 in a giant way. I think there's still a lot of room for us to dive into this subject more.
Definitely.
Nephilim a little more.
Definitely.
Have you seen the movie Troll yet on Netflix?
No.
You should definitely check out Troll. That's a good one. It came out last year. It's like a Norwegian kaiju movie.
Yeah, with
kind of the Vatican. They deal with the giant stuff, but it's in the Vatican.
Okay,
it's where like the Vatican have these giant skeletons. They're troll skeletons. Okay, so
is this the one where they come out of like the mountain? Like the trolls are actually the mountain. Oh, okay, yeah, I saw trailers.
It's a great movie. I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
Me too.
It's a kaiju movie on Netflix. It's really good.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys definitely need to check that out. You and Ben would love it. Yeah, it should be something you guys put on. I've watched it a few times. I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
But that does it for us, guys. Next episode, I'm going to, you know, since it will be the new year, 2024, I'm going to talk about something that I was around for, something I have very vivid memories of, the infamous Y2K.
Yes!
The turn of the century. That time when everyone was terrified. It was I remember it being one of the scariest New Year's I can remember, except no one, there was so much optimism on what was going to happen when the clock struck 12. So we're going to talk about Y2K here in file 034, the first episode for 2024.
I was four.
That's going to be a fantastic episode. I'm really excited to talk about it. And talk about, you know, because I have memories of Y2K.
That's awesome. Be
fun to talk about. But Bailey, we talked about giants. We've talked about a lot this year. We made a lot of friends this year as well.
Oh, so many
through podcasting. It's been a fantastic year to be part of Cult Talk Conspiracy and Cult Talk Net as a whole. Make sure you guys check out all the very Cult Talk Christmas 3 episodes we put out across the board. On the Cult of Campbell feed, Cult of Lore feed, and the Cult-tober Plus feed. Make sure you guys check out Cult Talk Net on YouTube, youtube.com/culttalknet. And make sure you guys follow us at Cult Talk Net across the board, Instagram, X, Facebook, all the things. You'll find, if you go to a social media platform, you type in Cult Talk Net, you'll more than likely find us on there. So
yes.
We want to thank everyone who's listened to us this year. And we hope everyone had a Merry Christmas. And we hope everyone has a very fun and a very safe New Year's. There will be a special video coming up on the YouTube.com/culttalknet for January 1st. So you guys check out that. But other than that, I think that does it for the year for Cult Talk Net.
I think we've
capped it off for Cult Talk Conspiracy for sure. So we will see you guys here next year.
Couldn't resist. But
until then, I've been Ty.
I've been Bailey.
Question everything.